At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
For the game. There it is. Coming. Mario.
Oh, and it gets batted out of the air by Nick Benito. And Denver is going to win 27-26. Mariota was backing up. He threw the ball. Benito got up in the air and swatted it out of the sky. Oh. And Denver gets their ninth straight win.
Thank you to Commanders Radio. Disappointing call for them down the stretch in a really entertaining game, Pearl. But they're right. The final takeaway is that the Denver Broncos have 10 wins. They are the top seed in the AFC, at least until the Patriots play tonight. They host the Giants on Monday Night Football. And I think it will be difficult if the playoffs have to go through Denver. It's a true home field advantage. My only question is, the Denver offense, despite, you know, Sean Payton and all of his, acumen, they disappear for long stretches at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that. I think they could have the number one seed and be a serious Cinderella at the same time because this team is not playing like a future NFL champion in any way. They're just kind of
defense, maybe the defense
yeah, that's a question. Is it going to be such a weird year in the NFL that you could have one outstanding unit define who you are? I kind of don't think so, but hey, you know what? I don't know who else in the AFC. So that's the best thing going for Denver.
Yeah, obviously. And if you're looking at the AFC picture, it is super jumbled because there are teams that we think could be true contenders, but they're still out of the playoff race right now. If you're talking about Kansas City, who lost to the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, or if you're talking about whatever is going to happen with the AFC North and the Ravens, like if the Ravens get in, are they dangerous? How about the Houston Texans, who beat the Colts yesterday? Got a little help from the officials, but Houston's defense is as good as anybody. And they right now are kind of clinging to a playoff spot, but they got their seventh win yesterday, and they look like a dangerous team all of a sudden.
Oh, I'd put them a little bit below Denver. Their offense, again, seems kind of not fixed. I saw the Indianapolis game. C.J. Stroud did definitely make some nice throws, but generally they are so inconsistent on offense, even less so than Denver. I'd put Denver and their defense a little bit ahead of Houston, but I guess anything's possible. By the way, I think actually the Jacksonville and Indy and Houston, like I think Jacksonville could win a playoff game. I don't see any reason why not. I know talking about an offense that makes no sense. Trevor Lawrence has one great throw and one bad throw, but heck, they could run the ball too and play great defense at times.
So last night, that was a big win, obviously, for the Denver Broncos, but that's not all that happened. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
Okay, well, we already know what happened on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Packers win, Dan Campbell making boneheaded coaching decisions, in my opinion. Kansas City loses to the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas now potentially alive for a playoff spot, which is interesting. We'll talk about it in a little bit. And then the Bengals with Joe Burrow back at the helm. They win and beat the Ravens, sending the Ravens to 6-6. Black Friday, your Eagles fall to the Bears. So then we start with Sunday. Go ahead, EJ Stewart.
All right, so it was not perfect timing for one Shedeur Sanders to make his home starting debut for the Browns. They get steamrolled by the Niners 26-8.
I don't blame Shedeur on this one. I mean, it was super windy out there, and they were running the ball for a big chunk of the game. I thought he played okay, actually. And I know I thought he earned getting another start for sure. They had one drive. I tweeted about this. They went 9 runs in a row, and then Shador threw the one touchdown pass to Harold Fannin. They were obviously, both teams had to run the ball here. Shador, to me, looked like an NFL quarterback. I was totally fine. He did back up a couple times and take some bad sacks. I think you could probably coach that out of him. I had no problem with Shador.
He was going backwards and holding on to the ball a little bit longer. San Francisco has not really been able to get a pass rush, but they kind of looked like they did yesterday because Shador was holding on to the ball so long. But how many pressures?
Yeah, I know, but he was able to throw it away on a lot of those.
San Francisco, meanwhile, has won 3 in a row. They're 9-4, but they're doing it against a pretty weak schedule. I don't know how many people believe they're actually a legit Super Bowl contender. Who's next?
How does first place Jag sound? That's what you got to call them after they beat the Titans 25-3. Jaguars holding the tiebreaker with the Colts, now in first place in the AFC South.
Yeah, the Jags had to really overcome a little bit of adversity here. Now, Tennessee's a terrible team right now, so they won 25-3. But with Brian Thomas Jr. back, that's obviously a good sign, even though they had a lot of guys out in this game and lost Parker Washington during the game. Jacoby Myers has stepped up to be a really big weapon for them. I think one of the biggest things for the Jags, Pearl, they are one of the most penalized teams in the NFL. I got this from NFL Network, okay? NFL.com. They have 104 penalties in 12 games. Last year, they had 99 penalties in 17 games. Like, if there's a team that could actually take advantage of this, and some have, then that could doom the Jags in the postseason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're a Super Bowl threat, but I do think they're such an inconsistent team that if they got everything together, they could be dangerous. Watching Cam Ward sling the ball all over the field to God knows who or God knows where is amazingly entertaining, by the way. I've never seen anyone throw the ball 30 yards down the field on a line like that and not have a defender or a wide receiver within 6 yards of the pass. He's just like, whatever, man. He's on scholarship at this point. I think he's just like, might as well throw. There's nothing to lose.
Let's stay in that AFC South, where how about those surging Texans? And it turns out playing on a broken leg, maybe not a great idea for Daniel Jones, as the Texans beat the Colts 20-16. Now Texans one game back of first place in the AFC South.
You know, the officiating is getting a lot of attention for this. There was a bad PI call. Yep. There was a face mask that was missed. To me, it was the missed field goal. I was watching it in real time. I'm like, oh my God, he missed the field goal.
The extra point.
And they said, I think it technically went over the top of it. So they ruled it good. And that was a huge, huge point. And Houston came away with the win. That was a coin toss of a game. That was really, really close.
I think it has to be on the inside of the outside of the stanchion. It is so silly. But bigger thing for Indy, yes, Daniel Jones has a broken bone in his fibula. That's not ideal. The Magic Harper ride could be ending for them. But how about Jonathan Taylor? Less than 100 yards rushing for the third time in the last 4 games. And they had less than 300 total yards for the second straight week. That is my issue with the Colts. They were the number one scoring offense for most of the season.
And a bad calf injury for Sauce Gardner, who they say is a few weeks. But we know what happens with calves. It can lead to Achilles injuries. Sauce said, I don't think it's my Achilles. That is a terrifying word to hear.
How about the Miami Dolphins? They're surging. They beat the Colts 21-17. Devon Achane goes over 1,000 yards for the season.
This was the dumbest game alive. This was such a silly, stupid game. Anytime you get a 2-point conversion that gets run back 100 yards the other way, like Micah Fitzpatrick did in this game, but then the game's not over because the opponent recovers the onside kick, Pearl, you're in for some craziness.
Which was a garbage call, by the way. He definitely touched it before the 10-yard mark. They're like, what the heck? Let's see the Saints run it out there one more time.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost like no one wanted to go home yet or something. Yeah. I don't know. But you're right. It's about HN. He has 32 explosive runs, so 10 plus yards. Second only to Jonathan Taylor, who's got 33.
It's also about my guy Darren Waller back on the field. Couldn't get his toe down for what would have been his 5th touchdown of the year. But Miami, they're about to go 6-7.
Oh, no.
If they beat the Jets. If Miami makes the playoffs, then I'm considering the 2025 season the greatest NFL season of all time. If they do, it'll be so funny because not only did we bury Mike McDaniel, we thought he was an embarrassment, and look at them here. They could be 6-7 and on the verge of at least being in the hunt graphic.
I want 6-7 to get blasted into the sun.
Let's go to MetLife, where, get this, Aaron Glenn won a game with a kicker who he said he played with at one point. Nick Folk hits a game-winning field goal at MetLife to earn the Jets their third win of the season, 27-24 over the Falcons.
You can have this one. Yeah, please.
The Falcons have lost 6 of 7. I hate this. I hate this. I don't want to do it anymore. That's it. I'm never saying it again. The Falcons, this is a lost season. I mean, this absolutely stinks. Think about it. You kept Kirk Cousins. Like, you thought the backup quarterback who could actually win you games if something happened to Michael Penix, and you can't do anything about it. Meanwhile, EJ, I'm sorry. Bad win for the Jets. You're in a dogfight here to try to get the highest pick possible. You can't mess around and win games like this on days when Cleveland's losing.
But not a deal.
How do you know how it really works out? Do you know for a fact that Fernando Mendoza is a better pro than Ty Simpson? And the fact that I just asked that question.
Definitely not.
This is not a good thing. I think you'll be fine.
We head to Tampa Bay, where Baker Mayfield ended up missing no games after hurting his shoulder last week, and they get a big win at home. They beat the Cards 20-17.
Big win, huh? I actually had my television algorithmically set to avoid this game. I mean, come on. Why are the Bucs in a dogfight with the Cards, with the playoffs on the line and the Panthers surging? What is wrong with this Tampa Bay team, I ask you, Maggie Gray?
Well, they were hurt. I think they're getting healthier. Baker did look fine, even though it's the non-throwing shoulder. Bucky Irving is back, guys. And Chris Godwin was back, even though he dropped an easy touchdown. He did have 78 yards receiving on three catches. I mean, they're barely in first place, but they stopped a three-game losing streak. How about this for you? Tristan Wirfs, the offensive lineman, scored a touchdown yesterday. First offensive lineman to score a touchdown this season.
But why was this game a dogfight against a Cardinal team that really should be given up on the year?
No, the Cardinals actually got eliminated yesterday officially. But the Cardinals do this. Like, 7 of their losses have all been by 4 points or fewer.
Some of their wins have also been really shaky
as well.
True. Let's go to Carolina, where this one was a surprise. Some late turnovers from Matt Stafford helped the Panthers upset the Rams at home, 31-28.
I've been pounding the table for this Matthew Stafford MVP thing because it's like the only thing kind of missing from his resume at this point. But Pearl, Bryce Young looked better down the stretch than Matthew Stafford, which is shocking to say. When Carolina gets the run game going, that's obviously the biggest deal. And Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard had 35 carries combined for 133 yards. I don't know who this Panther team is, but this is a good win for a team that's in playoff contention.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Carolina, remember, they beat Green Bay, too. So that'd be an interesting, although Green Bay has a tie on the record, so there won't be a tiebreaker. You know, this doesn't matter for LA. It was cold and rainy on the East Coast. They didn't really want to be there. You could tell pretty early in the game. I am not going to count this against my Rams.
I mean, Matthew Stafford getting strip sack when you're down 3 in field goal range after taking a delay of game when you have 2 timeouts. It was his worst outing of the season. Just got to call it what it is and see if they can rebound next week.
Let's go to the 4 o'clock window where Vikings fans thought couldn't get any worse than playing 9. Well, I'm going to call this guy 4 because Mac brought him through 4 interceptions, including one of the worst I've ever seen in an absolute dominating shutout loss for the Seahawks, who won 26-0 of the Vikings.
Ernest Jones had 2 of those picks yesterday. I mean, I want to make this about the Seattle defense because they look so good in pitching a shutout, but how do you not make this about the Vikings? And Max Brosmer, who, as EJ said, was just absolutely terrible. Aaron Jones also didn't need to kick in that fumble. Well, the chips are down. But this is all a what could have been for Minnesota, bro. Like, yeah. They had quarterbacks who wanted to play there, including Sam Darnold. And I get they had to see what they had in J.J. McCarthy, but maybe you could have delayed that another year because this is a playoff-caliber roster with a terrible quarterback situation.
Do you think there's any chance Justin Jefferson starts to make real noise this offseason? I mean, every single week we see him frustrated on the sideline, and he's not been shy. He knows the cameras are on him. When he throws down his helmet, it's been such a bad season for him. He's such a nice guy by all reports, and we've met him a couple times. He seems super nice, that I don't think he'll be a huge problem, but his frustration is no joke. If I'm Minnesota, I have a really hard decision to have about J.J. McCarthy.
When you had a winning record for at least 18 seasons, I think 6-6 is considered rock bottom for the Steelers. They get blown out at home by the Bills, 26-7.
Rock bottom? It's called Steady Eddie. They're always 6-6. Last year, they were 8-2. They're the same team they always beat. You can blame Aaron Rodgers all you want. But did you see any creative offense from the Steelers yesterday? And the fact that their quarterback could only do about half of what he's supposed to do. He couldn't hand the ball off on one side of the field, Maggie.
Yeah.
That was a joke to play him. They should have played Mason Rudolph. And meanwhile, the not being able to stop the run game issue came back because the Bills ran for 250.
The Bills set a record for most rushing yards in that stadium by an opponent. And the Bills won the time of possession. I mean, they just killed them in this game. They had the ball forever. And I want to blame the Steelers' defense because the Bills had both of their tackles were out. T.J. Watt should have had 10 sacks. Josh Allen got sacked 8 times last week against the Houston Texans.
How do you sack him? He wasn't even throwing.
He was barely throwing the ball, under 200 yards passing. But
threw for 123 yards.
James Cook kept running the same play over and over again. Meanwhile, the Steelers only ran 43 plays, and Buffalo ran 74 plays.
Yeah, I saw this stat. They ran on 64% of their plays, which is one of the highest rates since they drafted Josh Allen in 2018. It's easy. There's two games coming up against Baltimore. You don't think Baltimore is going to do the same exact thing? Run Derrick Henry, run Lamar Jackson, just go to town. How did Pittsburgh's defense become so soft?
The Bills make me wanna. I was proud of Joe Brady yesterday, by the way. Proud of him as an offensive coordinator. I'm hard on that guy. Played the game they were in. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
The second stint for G. Reg Olsen's run as OC of the Raiders didn't go quite as planned. They lose to the Chargers 31-14, but uh-oh for L.A., Justin Herbert, hurt hand, now needs surgery.
You know, G.
Reg. Don't play the second line.
I got really excited when Trey Lance got in. I thought we were going to see Trey Lance not only play, but get a win because pretty much anybody could beat this Raiders team. I don't get this Justin Herbert thing. Like, it seems like something happens every week, Maggie. And you could see it really affected him. My Birds play him next. And then there's some big, big games coming up for the Chargers. I don't have faith that they will keep healthy. I just can't. I can't believe in them.
Well, right now, I mean, they've already banked a lot of wins. They're 8-4. And according to ESPN, they win the tiebreaker over Buffalo and Indy based on best win percentage in conference games. So
I mean,
we'll see how that goes. But
Eagles at Chiefs, at Cowboys, Texans, at Broncos. I wouldn't worry about tiebreakers.
Well, I'm wondering if Justin Herbert doesn't even play in that Eagles game and try to save him for the Chiefs game.
He always plays, though. He didn't need to get back out there at all. They could have beaten the Raiders without him.
That's true. They sacked Geno Smith 5 times.
And finally, Sunday Night Football, the Broncos survive a scare in Washington. They win on a failed 2-point conversion from the Commanders. Broncos 27, Commanders 26.
I'm telling you, Broncos, the Bears, these teams that win these last second games, I don't know how they're doing it. The Broncos offense, bro, the defense is awesome. They're steady. They are great. The offense just disappears, it feels like, for hours at a time. Like, you see Bo Nix will have, like, 3 and outs in a row, and then all of a sudden he'll come back with a touchdown. Like, they scored that touchdown at the end of the first half, come out with a good drive at the beginning of the third quarter, and then he did not score again until overtime. It's just too long for these lulls.
Yeah, I mean, there was some high comedy in overtime. Commanders score a touchdown, get called back for holding. Denver knocks out, stops him on fourth down, gets called for, I think it was a pass interference. Generally, that if you were like invested in that game, which I don't think many people were because Washington's not going anywhere and Denver's already clinched the playoffs, I think it would have been an unbelievably tough game to watch because there were so many fits and starts at the end. Typical sort of Washington under Marcus Mariota.
Kind of felt for Mariota. He threw a terrible pick in this game. I think he had 2 picks, but one was really bad with the jump pass, which always looks cool, but you have no idea like where it's going, I guess, when it's Mariota. But I felt terrible for him because they had the play in overtime. They're going for 2. Did the right thing, by the way. Won the toss and deferred. See what you need. And the Broncos scored the touchdown, and then they came down, scored the touchdown on the 4th and goal, and then couldn't get the ball to his guy.
Yeah, it feels like it's hard to convert that last 2-point play. I've seen a lot of guys who were like, all right, we're the losing team. We're going to go for it on 2, and it usually doesn't work out. Maybe I have to get some analytics. I remember more like North Carolina played Virginia earlier this year, and Bill went for it at the last play, and I'm like, he didn't even come close. It seems like to me that it's a general, the losing team's always like, we have nothing to lose. Let's go for it here, and then they usually lose.
Yeah, but I can think of big times when it worked. LSU against Alabama, Brian Kelly's first year. That was a big one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see the the analytics. Well, I mean, listen, Washington has no reason. They just want to get off the field as soon as possible. They're not playing for anything. We'll see. Jaden Daniels comes back. They can play spoiler. I agree with you. I have no idea what Denver is. None whatsoever.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think it's the same for the number one team in both conferences. I have no idea what the Bears are, and I have no idea what the Broncos are as far as actual contenders.
I know what the Bears are.
We'll get to that in just a moment after this.
All right, Maggie, it is definitely the best time of year. We got the holidays, and that means all kinds of sports. You can keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5 on Prize Picks. You simply pick 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on their stat projections, and watch your lineups win big. You know what's super exciting? Prize Picks now has early payouts as well. If your lineup gets to a hot start, you have the option to cash out even before the game is done.
Okay, before I gave you my picks for tonight, I'm going with Travion Henderson, more than 65.5 rushing yards, Monday Night Football. The Patriots play the Giants. And then I was going to pair that with Tyler Hero, 21.5 points. I was going to fade Tyler Hero, go less than. You've got the Heat playing the Clippers tonight. So I'm going to stick with it, even though this Giannis Antetokounmpo, 31.5 points against the Wizards was really calling my name, Pearl, because that's a four then. So maybe I'll put all three.
Any excuse to watch the Wizards.
With my Prize Picks. Did I say I was going to watch it? I'd be monitoring closely. And we love Prize Picks around here. Obviously, it's become the obsession of the show. It's the only thing we talk about. And if you want to get in on the action, it's easy. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, every week we do stock up, stock down after a busy sports weekend here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, why don't you get us started with stock up?
All right, I'm going to say it going all the way back to the first game that was played on Thanksgiving. I'm going to go a stock up and a stock down from this game. Stock up has got to be the Jack White Eminem halftime show, Pearl, which
Love
was
it.
Awesome. Just fantastic. Detroit's own, both of them. And it was great. Can I just also jump to the stock down from this game?
Yeah, please.
Dan Campbell. I'm over it. I love the going for it all the time and the biting the kneecaps mentality, but you're down 10 against a division rival, and you have a chance to kick a field goal to make it a one-score game, and instead you go for it when you probably only have two, maybe I don't even know how many possessions left, but not many in the fourth quarter against the Packers. What are you doing, dude? Win the game. You don't always have to be proving a point. I get this is his philosophy, but he ended up kicking the field goal on the next drive down because they needed to, because it was still a two-score game, Pearl, when then you can be going all out for the touchdown. I just hated the play calling. I thought Dan Campbell helped them lose that game instead of helping them win it.
Yeah, I'll take a segue from that. I'm much more worried about the Lions offense, and it just doesn't look the same, and I know why. Because Ben Johnson's in Chicago. I was there on a windy Friday in Philadelphia. The Eagles knew Caleb Williams was not going to throw the pass. They knew the run game was coming, and they were powerless to stop it. Two things. That offensive line that they paid all that money for, outstanding. Second of all, Ben Johnson is the single best run game schemer in football, and it's not even close. The fact that he got 200-yard rushers on a windy day when Philly knew they were going to run the ball, and Philly's defensive line has players, and they have linebackers. They shouldn't really get run all over like that, and they did. I mean, I know he's probably not going to win Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson, but that money they invested in was well worth it. And it's not because of Caleb Williams. It's because the run game is amazing in Chicago.
By the way, he might win Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he might.
If Vrabel has a couple slip-ups at the end of the season, it's possible.
Vrabel's got that sort of ACC schedule, though. He didn't play anybody.
Was that a stock up there, Pearl?
That was a stock up.
Stock up Ben Johnson.
Guy, do Madu stock down from the same game.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the Eagles said they're not going to fire their offensive coordinator as of Friday, Kevin Petullo, well, then they're just completely either giving up on the season or blind. That guy could not play call his way out of a paper bag. Their offense is so uncreative. It's so bogged down. I don't blame Jalen Hurts. I blame the play calling. They don't seem to have any kind of identity whatsoever. You can't do this. You can't just promote an assistant who has no experience just because you won the Super Bowl. If you're the Eagles, you have to have an experienced play caller, and they do not have it. And unfortunately, their head coach is not great at it either. So they're in a real tough pickle from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah, which is funny because they're like, on defense, we need a guy who's been in the league for 30 years, and on offense, we'll take a guy who's been in the league for 3 minutes. Meanwhile, okay, I'm going to go a stock down here, and I hate to pile on, but the Vikings are a disaster, and they're starting an undrafted quarterback in Max Brosmer, who apparently PJ Fleck in Minnesota like completely convinced them to sign him. Pro, we were talking earlier, who had the best catch of the day? Was it Treylon Burks or was it Puka Nacua? I can tell you who had the worst interception of the day. It was Max Brosmer.
He rolls, he's pressured, he's in trouble, heaves it up, oh no! Ernest Jones, house call! He will take it all the way! A game-changing play from Ernest Jones! 84 yards and no flags!
Throw it, man!
Why? Your knee is basically scraping the top of the turf, but for some reason, this is when you think it's a good idea to throw the ball, and it was right into the hands of Ernest Jones. Ernest Jones had 2 picks out of Brosmer's 4 interceptions. It was the ugliest interception maybe I've ever seen.
Oh, really? Worse than Nathan Peterman?
It was Peterman-esque.
Okay. I'll do a stark, interesting preview there. I'll do a stock up. You gotta give some credit to Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns.
Mm.
And Arch Manning, too, because there was so much pressure on them coming in the year. Do you guys remember the Will Leach column in The Athletic saying Arch Manning is college football's first flop? Now, he didn't have a great game against A&M, but the fact that they made a compelling case to get into the playoff, I don't think they will, is pretty unbelievable for where they were as a team. If you look at the first week against Ohio State, They were actually in the game, could have even won the game, but they look completely discombobulated. This team is now really good. If they were in the 12-team playoff, I wouldn't want to see them. That's because they have pros all over both sides of the ball. They just have a terrible offensive line for most of the season. Sark has fixed that. I am very, very impressed by their turnaround this year.
Okay. Give you that.
I mean, you're not in. I mean, do you think Art should go number one now?
No.
Ooh, I definitely do.
This
year? He's so fast. Yes. I think Arch would go, definitely going to go one in 27, but I think the tools are on full display.
I got to stock down Kevin Stefanski. You know, Mike Florio had a good line. He said, no, I don't think that Kevin Stefanski is sabotaging Shador Sanders, but he's not celebrating him either. And I think what he meant by that is at some points it looks like he's not putting Shador in these really good positions, maybe because they're trying to lose and he wants a new quarterback or what have you. But
how so?
Well, I don't know. They went for it on a couple fourth downs that felt like he had very little chance to actually make it when their defense is keeping them in the game. And when they failed on those first downs, one, Shador didn't even touch the ball. They did a direct snap to Harold Fannin. But when they failed on those fourth downs, it led directly to scores for the 49ers. And I guess I would also say this. Mm. Like, it looks... Keep Shador starting, that's fine. He and Jerry Jeudy getting into it on the sideline also was uncomfortable to watch. So I just don't love how Stefanski has played this entire quarterback situation. Maybe you can say Stefanski and Andrew Berry, both. And yesterday, they were embarrassed.
I don't know. I felt that game was competitive enough, and it's a fifth-round pick week 13 in the NFL season. What is there precedent where that's supposed to look any different than it did?
We got to stop with Shador's just like any other fifth-round pick. It's not true.
You're right. He's probably a little bit worse than some of the other. But no, I'm just kidding. But the one thing, you hate fourth down going for it, apparently.
It's just when you're backed up, when you're a terrible offense to begin with, I think they put themselves in bad spots. Also, special teams is so ungodly bad. Not just the missed kicks, but obviously Gage Larvadan, cool name, terrible punt returner. Muffed two punts, lost one of them.
It was crazy windy there. Not to make excuses. Also, it was Corley who stepped out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
That was worst play.
That was a terrible one.
Because that was just pure dumbness. I mean, Gage Larvadan was trying to catch the ball. It was flying around like crazy. There was not much I could do. Quarterbacks want to go for it on every fourth down. You're not putting your quarterback in a bad position by going for it on fourth down. That is the key to offense. There's nothing wrong with that. He didn't do anything wrong with Shador. This is an impossible situation. This is the Cleveland Browns, Maggie. They have orange helmets. What did you think? He was going to go out there and throw it for 400 yards in a monsoon? Not a monsoon. What do you call it when the winds? A hurricane against the Niners? That was an impossible situation. And hey, gives them a start next week. I can't blame Stefanski for this.
Any more?
I'm good.
I already did my own stock down. I forgot to put the sugar in the pumpkin pie. It was awful. No amount of ice cream and whipped cream can save that.
Well, you failed once you even mentioned pumpkin pie. I mean, come on.
Well,
sweet potatoes is the way to go.
I'm not that talented, clearly.
Evidently.
Now we got that out on the table. All right, let's get to Boga. She's got the latest headlines. What's up?
Guys, how costly can a win be? Let's ask EJ's Jets.
There's the snap. The kick is on the way. It's a line drive towards the uprights. It is good! Nick Folk puts it through. No time on the clock. A 56-yard game-winning field goal.
That's Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio. Gangrene scoring 10 points in the final 153 to steal a 27-24 win from the Falcons. The day began with slim chances at that number one pick, just 15%. But this win and other results now have that down to 2%. The Jets would pick seventh if the draft was this morning.
That's one of the best worst wins in Jets history.
A very Giants-y of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Make that, by the way.
I mean, that makes it sound like there's a Trevor Lawrence out there when you say that, though.
You still want to have the best possible pick, though, right? So you can have more control over who you're getting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. But it's marginal. I feel like if they're not tanking for a player, it's a different story than normal seasons.
Yeah, but see, like, I want the Giants to have the number one pick this year, assume then they don't need a
Nobody's
quarterback.
Nobody's trading for that pick.
Someone's going to.
Unless they're coming
Someone
way
always
up.
Wants a quarterback, right?
I mean,
not every year.
Not every year. There are weird years. I think Mendoza's probably a number one, but it seems real marginal to me.
I can't remember how, but somehow this weekend the Eric Fisher draft came up.
That's
with my son.
That's the one I was thinking of.
And I was like, that was maybe the worst draft ever. There was no one to take, and the Chiefs like shrugged and took a right tackle.
Oh, I was at that combine. And John Dorsey was the GM at the time, and he basically stood up at the podium and was like, anybody? Anybody? Anybody want the top pick? Anyone? No? All right.
I feel like you always want the higher pick. Even if it's not number one. Like, even if you fall from, even if it's between 3 and 7, I want 3 rather than 7, right? Like, I think that's always the situation regardless. Because even if the Jets decide, you know what, these quarterbacks think, and we don't want any of these quarterbacks. But I want the best possible position player, too.
What if you got it? You reach on a quarterback and then you're stuck like the Vikings are with J.J. McCarthy. That's another possible terrible scenario.
Yeah, but
I've been there before.
Exactly.
The Jets have failed in every possible way. They traded up for Darnold, don't forget. Well, they were at 6 and traded up to 3.
They traded up for Darnold. But they traded up for Mark Sanchez, too. And that worked out in the short term, but not having those assets to replenish once the team kind of tanked also sent us basically into this 15-year hole we've been in.
I feel
Mark
like
Sanchez, whatever happened to that guy?
You kind of want to tank next year, right? That could be 2027.
That's the season. Well, now the problem is the Colts may be going back in the downslide, but the Cowboys may be on the upswing. So how valuable is the Cowboys pick going to be next year is going to be my question.
Mm. Well, yeah, but you don't know. The Cowboys are always injury prone.
True.
You never know.
So the Jets and now
Commanders
are 3-9 this morning. Washington losing at home last night, a heartbreaker, 27-26 in overtime to the Broncos. The Commanders went for a winning 2-point conversion in overtime, but Nick Benito knocked down Marcus Mariota's pass.
I loved it. I don't think there was any doubt in our minds across the board, and appreciate the confidence from Q. And yeah, it was just unfortunate we weren't able to convert.
And because they didn't convert, their losing streak is now 7. The Colts, meanwhile, have their first back-to-back losses of this season after the Texans went to Indy and won 2016. That follows a 3-point defeat to the Chiefs for Shane Steichen.
When you lose tight games, it's frustrating because you're like, shoot, we could have had that, we could have this, could have that. You look back, it's 3 or 4 plays when you lose the tight ones. And so we got to find a way to get those 3 or 4 plays when it is a tight game like that.
Shoot. The Colts, Jaguars, Chargers, Bills all have 8 wins this morning. Indy could win the division, could be a wild card, or could be out altogether. Their remaining schedule is the Jags twice, the Seahawks, the Niners, and in Houston to close out the regular season.
Can I tell you guys who the biggest loser is in this new Colts collapse? Sandra Bullock.
Why is that? Is she on board?
No, Cassandra Bullock, because we know that the Carly Gordon Ursay biopic that was going to be made into this, you know, Cinderella story that goes all with a Super Bowl. Like, this was all going to be signed up right for Sandra Bullock to play Carly Ursay Gordon, right?
Man.
She's a big loser now. Like, if they end up being 8 and 9, there's not going to be no Colts movie about this new owner.
You can fudge that, EJ. It's Hollywood. You can fudge the ending.
But can she go from the Fugazi Blindside movie to another football movie?
Fugazi Blindside, she won the Oscar.
Yeah,
for that.
But the whole story has been.
We've done this.
Yeah.
Story was fudged. Michael Orr has major issues.
But the problem
is,
like, that was in the middle of nowhere, like Mississippi high school football, where nobody really was there to actually fact check any of this stuff. Like, unfortunately, like, we have profootballreference.com, so we can go say, hey, how did the 2025 Colts season end? Wait a minute, they went 9-8 and lost in the wild card?
What's their PFF grade?
She's wearing that Adidas Gucci dress on the sideline. She's dressed to the nines, but obviously having the owner on the sideline is not intimidating to the refs at all, because they absolutely hose the Colts on multiple calls.
Yeah.
There was one defensive pass interference that was a joke.
I think there's a chance the Colts might be cursed. I think it might be the curse of Andrew Luck. Like, if you think about it, they've had some, no pun intended, hard luck. It's like, because they're in Indianapolis, I think, you know, maybe we kind of lose sight of them, but, I mean, Carson Wentz collapse. That's not bad luck.
That was...
He sprained two ankles in the same game.
But I'm just saying, though, like, they look like they could maybe make a run in the playoffs, and that went nowhere. I mean, you had the Jacoby Brissett year, of course. You had the Phillip Rivers year. Like,
Matt Ryan. Jeff Saturday was the coach. I don't think it's a curse, EJ. I think they're making bad decisions.
Maybe, but it's for a team that actually has talent. They have, like, I don't want to say a generational running back, but a superstar running back, and they can't do anything with this guy. Like, his prime is going to come and go, and they're not going to win anything. That is some hard luck. Your team just won a Super Bowl with a great running back. What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just that generally you think of quarterbacks like that, not running backs. I mean, you're right. Jonathan Taylor does sort of jump over into the MVP conversation, but you waste the prime of Joe Burrow. I don't know about Jonathan Taylor.
But I mean, the fact that they can't even make the playoffs with this guy, like you, like the Niners have been able to go to the Super Bowl with Christian McCaffrey. Like you guys had got Saquon Barkley after he couldn't do anything with the Giants, and you guys won a championship. Like they've had this guy for the prime of his entire career, and they may miss the playoffs again.
Well, the question is, do they keep Daniel Jones? I think they love him, right? Now he's got the broken bone in his fibula, and it feels like they're leaking.
I don't know if he
can. They still almost won that game yesterday.
You can't do what the Giants did, because the Giants made that mistake, and it setting them back years, bringing back Daniel Jones.
They're going to do it.
Oh, they'll definitely bring back Daniel Jones. Yeah. They love him.
Ryan Hickey's going to love this conversation out in the newsroom.
He's our resident Colts fan.
Chargers QB Justin Herbert is having surgery today for the broken bone in his left hand, suffered in yesterday's 31-14 win over the Raiders. The Bolts not sure how much time, if any, Herbert will have to miss. He missed less than a full series yesterday, finishing with 151 yards and two scores. Brazil is now getting college football. NC State and Virginia announcing a game in Rio next August 29th. This, of course, will be the first time college football gets played in South America.
Wait, I have a question.
Which Brazilians asked for this?
What is that?
Which Brazilians asked for this?
Neymar.
Wait, but is this going to be a non-conference game again? Because is Virginia going to pull this crap like they did this season where they played NC State and lost in a quote-unquote non-conference game? Even though it's a conference opponent, so they
listen,
can still
Miami, I can't help you with that one.
This thing, man, this conference is clueless. Who is the commissioner? Get this guy out of here.
Hunter Yurachek.
He should be fired. The commissioner is terrible. If you don't get the ACC champion into the college football playoff, that dude has got to be fired.
But letting teams play conference games in Brazil that aren't conference games. What are we doing?
Yeah, but think of the eyeballs. Not exactly Chiefs.
That's going to be on the CW too, that game.
Instead
by the
of being
way.
On a Rio de Janeiro beach, I'd rather watch NC State in Virginia if I'm in Brazil. That makes sense.
Everyone's got to wear a thong bikini. Okay, 888-710-4ISN. Okay, coming up next, Maggie Perloff's big moment on campus. Give you one guess who it is. She's got the pineapples on the tata. That came back to haunt me. M&P.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You never know what you'll see during the college football weekend.
Here is Maggie and Perloff's Big Moment on Campus.
I'll give you one guess who it is. But first, we have to look back to last week. Last week's big moment on campus was Brian Kelly's son being announced on Senior Day.
And one of those seniors is Brian Kelly's son. This is Kenzel Kelly coming out pregame. Pay special attention to that T-shirt he's got underneath his jersey.
Go Tigers! Long live BK! Long free my boy! Free my boy BK! You know who?
You ever call your dad your boy?
No. Never did.
That was last week. Too good to pass up. Free my boy. My dad. Brian Kelly. This week, without further ado, your big moment on campus belongs to Lane Kiffin confronting a reporter who called him, he thought, a derogatory name.
Do you want to walk in here? Call me a... We'll see how it goes.
Man. Lane, just, you can see, Pearl, you said it before, his nerves are just like fried.
He looks like he's been through the ringer.
Well, he got really skinny. Skinny. Lane. The haircut's kind of weird. And yeah, obviously this has been, so he says, a tough decision. To me, I don't think the decision was tough to leave Ole Miss for LSU. It's just Lane wanted it how he wanted it. He wants to take the $80, $90 million, you know, from LSU. And he also wanted to coach his Ole Miss team through the college football playoff. And I totally understand the athletic director who says, no, you can't do that. You can't just be here when we have a rivalry with LSU and we're recruiting against LSU and allow you to continue in the building and to prop you up and give you this big platform to then take it to LSU.
Oh, yeah. I get both sides of this one. I think Lane had to say, I want to stay and coach the team. He couldn't just abandon his own players. I'm curious, the $84 million mark, wasn't there a report that Ole Miss was offering 90 and that the LSU was topping that? I felt like the numbers might have been exaggerated a little bit in the press. I feel like the agent might have been getting out some fake offers.
Possible.
Because I felt like Ole Miss could have paid that for it. If they wanted to, I wonder if there's more about paying players. Seems like a big issue when coaches take a new job now, or some other kind of structural thing we don't quite see.
Or the assistants. I mean,
yeah,
it's got to be
definitely
the players, definitely the assistant coaches. And we saw as Lane was getting booed at the Oxford, Mississippi airport, Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, also got on the private jet and he also got booed.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too. And the old way of looking at college football is different. Is LSU, of course, would have a better chance of winning the title for the last 30 years. But in the NIL world, where Indiana's the number two team in the country, are we sure that LSU is better than Ole Miss? It's a very complicated situation, I think. I don't think it was such a no-brainer, even from a football standpoint.
There could also just be a bunch of one-offs year after year because you get a great recruiting class. Like sometimes, you know, we thought we might see this a little in college hoops, but again, we got UConn as a back-to-back champion and then Florida.
Well, yeah, we might have a back-to-back champion in college football too.
It's possible, but like sometimes these big free agent classes, which is what they are, sometimes they come together and it's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys tend to let go of the rope if things go bad early in the season. It's like, well, I'm just here for a couple more months to get my check. It really depends.
You got to be, and you definitely, like, schools have to really be savvy now about scheduling. Like, you can't, it's no more just, hey, like, I want to play tough teams. Now you have to, like, you're going to be held against you if you play good teams, so be very careful.
Let's go to Toby. He's in Texas, wants to talk about his Longhorns pulled off the upset against Texas A&M. What's up, Toby?
Hey, Maggie, good morning. I just want to call you Margaret today because Maggie sounds too much like Aggie, and you are not a loser.
Thank you.
Briefly, another double-digit beatdown in the rivalry. This is great. Fun night in Austin. I don't care about the playoff. It's obviously they're not picking the top 12 teams because Texas, Vandy, Miami are going to be left out, and they're going to stick in Duke and North Texas for a wonderful first-round matchup. Who cares? We need to stop whining about it and move on and, you know, get ready for the bowl game and beat whoever we play there. And what really irks me is a lot of fans are like, we shouldn't have scheduled Ohio State. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing in the world. You want to play the good games. You know, I'm paying $80 a ticket. I'm going to have to drive my fat ass up to Austin to watch him play Sanford and Podunk Tech. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't want that. I want the good games. Next year, we play second week, Ohio State. They may be the two-time defending national champs coming to Austin. Well, that's fun. That's what you want. You don't want to play these little teams. It's boring. And quickly about your Bills, Maggie, when they flame out in the first round of the playoffs, I want you to do this, okay? Fire your coach and go get the ultimate Bill. Bill Belichick.
Oh, Toby.
Oh, the glory. Twice a year.
No, you had me until you went.
The Patriots.
No. I'm not doing Jordan Hudson.
Can you imagine Jordan in a parka and little mittens?
Well, the parka, that'd be covering up her best qualities, Toby. But thank you. No, I don't want Bill Belichick. But let's get back to Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bills are going to flame out in the first round of the playoffs. But let's get back to Texas. You just said the exact opposite of what Toby said. He said he's paying to go to Austin to watch these games. He doesn't want to watch Little Sister.
No, I know.
He wants to watch the big dog.
It stinks for all fans that they've just made this statement that we don't care about strength of schedule. Not only the opposite of what they said at the beginning of the season, they don't care about it at all. It's not even a factor. So Texas obviously gets screwed because they have Ohio State and I think two Notre Dame openers in the next couple seasons. I think they should just rip the Band-Aid and just say goodbye to those. They got to get a lot of Sam Houston State in there because they make the playoffs important. By the way, there's an awesome receiver on SMU named Jordan Hudson. He had a great one-handed catch. I thought that was really funny. But if we get North Texas in the playoff, I'm all in on that, by the way. That'd be amazing. Speaking of future Jets quarterbacks, that kid might be the guy. So I like everything the guy said.
Said my team was going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. That's no good. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogus, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos Coffee Drinkers. See you tomorrow.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.